following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
What we're doing this last week and this week is we're looking at the fall feasts of Israel. This year, it coincides with the Canadian holiday of Thanksgiving. And so I thought we would look at the theme of why should we be grateful? And so we're going to do that by looking at the festival of Sukkot, as it's called in Hebrew. Sukkot is English for either tabernacles or booths. The word probably is best translated as hut, temporary dwelling. We're going to look at that a little more closely in a moment. The festival of Sukkot is one of what's been called the three pilgrim festivals of ancient Israel. The three being Passover, Pesach in Hebrew, Pentecost, Shavuot in Hebrew, and Sukkot, tabernacles or booths. The scripture tells us that during these three great festivals, all the men were to journey to Jerusalem to offer special sacrifices. Now, the festival of Sukkot is different from the other two in that it's the culmination of a special two-week period that began 2 weeks ago with Rosh Hashanah, the festival of trumpets or the blowing of the shofar, which I sought to demonstrate last week. And so 2 weeks ago, tonight was that festival, and it is marked by the blowing of the ram's horn as a way of remembering the Lord. This is one of the two major harvest times in ancient Israel, and people would be very busy with the harvest, and yet it was a time to stop and remember God. So that with the blast of the shofar, God was brought to remembrance as people were prepared for the next special holy day, which was 10 days later, the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, when people would stop. It was a very special Sabbath day. It didn't matter what day of the week it was. They would stop and humiliate themselves, humble themselves before the Lord, seeking Him for forgiveness. It was the one day of the year when the high priest would go into the inner sanctum of the temple, the Holy of Holies, and make a very special sacrifice for the sins of the nation. Then, 5 days after that, is the festival that begins this evening, the festival of Sukkot, which is a week-long Thanksgiving holiday. The beginning of the festival would be a special Sabbath day to stop and rest, and the end of this special week would be the same. The rest of the week would be regular work days, but they were still special days with special sacrifices and special days to give thanks to the Lord. So God commanded, as Harshit read for us in the scripture from Leviticus 23, that the people of Israel were to rejoice for 7 days at this festival. God commanded the nation to rejoice. Now, we might find that a little strange. How can anyone, even God, if we may say, command somebody to be thankful, to command somebody to rejoice? Well, often what we do is we simply say, well, He's God and He could do what He likes. And if God commands somebody to do something, and then that's the way it should be. It's funny. It's not actually funny. I hear people talk about when God tells them to do something, they use the word ask. And God asks me to do this, and God asks me to do that. And I've been reading this book, the Bible, for a long time, and I can't find anywhere where God's asking people to do anything. He tells them. He commands them. Now, many of us are uncomfortable with the word command because it sounds so cold. Well, the word in Hebrew for command is probably better translated direct. It's a direction. Now, of course, if God directs you to do something, I strongly suggest that you do it. But it's when God commands, He's directing, He's pointing, He's saying, this is the way you should go. You know, when you get, follow a recipe, either you follow the directions and you get what the recipe is telling you you will get, or you ignore the directions and you're going to get what you're going to get. If I need to go somewhere and I ask somebody for directions and I'm talking to somebody who knows how to get there, the way to get there is to follow the directions. And to do my own thing in my own way, to ignore the directions, is to find myself ending up where I don't want to be. And so when God commanded or directed the people of Israel to rejoice for 7 days at this special time of the year, he knew what he was saying. He knew how to direct the people. And I wonder, I don't think I've actually followed this. What would it be like to take 1 week in the year, whether it's this week or another week, and focus on giving thanks? There's so many other things going on in life. There's the aches and pains, the disappointments, the griefs, other things that are troublesome, and they're real. But to take the time, not just for a day or for a service or a one meal in the year, but rather what would it be like if we would take 1 week, 7 days in a row, and rejoice before the Lord? I wonder how life transforming that would be for ourselves, for our families, for our congregation, for our city, for our nation. There's an election coming. Now, religious Jewish people who continue to follow us, doesn't matter there's an election coming. It's a week to rejoice. And you know what? God's on the throne. No matter who ends up being our prime minister in 2 weeks from now. Is it 2 weeks? 2 weeks. 1 week? 2 weeks? 2 weeks. When's the election? The 21st. What's today? The 13th. Right. It's a week from now. Thank you so much. Okay. There's going to be an election in 1 week from now. Whoever ends up being prime minister, that is no reflection on our need to rejoice before the Lord, because the reasons to be thankful don't change. And to develop a habit where we take some time aside to do that might actually be very good to us. So we're going to look at the scriptural basis of gratitude by looking more closely at this festival. So one of the first things that is a key ingredient of the festival of Sukkot is the thing that it's actually named after. Booths, tabernacles, or maybe hut, as I said, would be a better word to use. And so God directs his people to, at this time of year, build a temporary shelter and live in it for the week of this festival. And here is a picture of a rather small one, but this is pretty typical of what sukkah is the singular, Sukkot is the plural, what a sukkah looks like. And they come in all sorts of sizes. There are particular in the development of this festival and the traditions of how to make a sukkah. There have been things that have been established by tradition. And one of the things has to do with the roof. The roof has to be thick enough to provide more shade than sun, but not so thick as to prevent the rain from getting in. Now, in the land of Israel, that's not such a big deal. Yes, it could rain at this time, but generally speaking, it would probably still be dry. Today is a lovely day, but we've noticed whenever we've built one, we often have, it seems to coincide with some of the windiest, wettest weather in the year. But that's this part of the world. They could be small like this, or many communities will make large ones. And if you go to the Jewish Community Center, near Dovercourt here in Ottawa or any other city, often there'll be large community-sized sukkah. They're built the same way, just a lot bigger, where whole groups can have them. And if you're interested, you can go to the Jewish Community Center and check out the one they've built there for this year. Here's another example of Sukkot, that's the plural. This is in Brooklyn, New York, where there's a large Jewish community. But if you went to parts of Montreal, Toronto, in Israel, you'd see this. You may not be able to tell that easily what that is, but that's an apartment building. And those are balconies. And each one of them has a small sukkah built on the balcony. And for some people, that's the only way that they could do this. In warmer climates, families might actually live in the sukkah for the week. In other places, maybe a meal would be had there, or studying might be done throughout the week. But the purpose of this was to remember that God had the people of Israel live for 40 years in temporary dwellings, in tents at that time. But for 40 years, God had the people of Israel live in temporary dwellings as they went from being slaves in Egypt to eventually settling in the Promised Land. Once they were in the Promised Land, they were able to build permanent homes. But for 40 years, God took care of the people of Israel in temporary dwellings. And we're going to come back to that experience in a few moments. But I want to look at another aspect of the holiday. We read in Leviticus 23 that as part of the festival, besides living in these huts, the people were to take certain growing things and rejoice with them. It actually says that, and I think, do I have a picture here? Here is a young family in a sukkah. I should mention this too. You see the walls are decorated. There's something hanging from the ceiling. That's also very typical. And that could get quite elaborate as well. But they're holding something in their hands. And these are the traditional objects associated with what we read in Leviticus 23, that they were to take the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And so these have become this set. It's called in Hebrew Arba Minim, the four species. And we see a special fruit there that's actually called an etrog. Let's see if I can go back and forth. So that's an etrog. It's like a large waxy lemon, and it's a citrus fruit that has become associated with the festival. We'll go back here. And so we have a palm branch in the center. It's closed up, but it's a palm branch. There's a willow at the bottom there, and a myrtle branch as the third branch. And these are held while special blessings are said, and they're waved as a way of rejoicing before the Lord. So that, again, is the etrog. And what I find interesting about this is God commanded the people to actually take things that were growing and hold them and rejoice before the Lord, because the Lord wanted the people to connect with the creation as part of the ceremony to rejoice before Him. Now, our relationship with the creation has actually always been a problem. Because what's often happened is people go from appreciating the creation to worshiping the creation. And that's one of the things that's happening in our day with some of the approaches to the environment, where people are becoming so focused on the creation, they're beginning to derive their lives from the creation itself. And so now people are terrified because of this believed environmental disaster that they're expecting to do with climate change. And they become totally focused on the creation itself, when actually, as human beings, our focus is supposed to be on the Lord, and then we serve Him in the creation. And we should be thankful for the creation, but we should not be controlled by the creation. So what some believers have done, we become so focused on the Lord, is we ignore the creation altogether, instead of understanding the creation from God's perspective. And so we're looking at why should we be grateful. So God called the people of Israel to journey through the wilderness prior to entering into the Promised Land. They lived, they were supposed to only be in the wilderness for a couple of years, but because of their lack of faith and failure to enter the Promised Land the first time, God punished the people and made the whole generation that did not believe in Him to die out, and it was the next generation that actually entered in. And so they ended up as a nation spending an extra 38 years wandering in the wilderness. But God took care of the nation there. The nation did not die out. And they had to live in very difficult, at a very difficult environment, an environment that didn't readily produce crops. And they had to rely on God completely for his miraculous provision for all those years. Now, this is not the exact location where the people of Israel journeyed for 40 years, but it was similar. And this is not a very, not very favorable land. And yet God took care of them there. Then after that 40 years, they did enter the promised land where they were able to build permanent dwellings and begin to develop farms and have what we might call a more normal existence. But once a year at Sukkot, they were to move out of their permanent dwellings and live in temporary shelters again to remember where our provision really came from. And many of you have been through times in your life where you did not know where your provision was going to come from. Maybe you're there right now. But many of us have been in those places where we did not have regular paychecks. And we wondered, how would we pay the bills? Some of us have been in situations where maybe we didn't even know how we were going to eat that day. Now, there are people that are going through horrible situations today, and sadly, there are some people that will not eat today. But I'm looking at you this morning, and I don't know what's going to happen to you or to me today, but it looks like we made it to at least almost 11 o'clock today, this morning. You're here. God has been faithful to you all. Maybe you're afraid of what's coming, but we made it to today. Now, some of us in this room are pretty confident that you're going to have lunch, you're going to have supper, not only today, but for the days, next few days and maybe months to come. Some of you are actually confident that you're going to be okay for the next several years to come. Actually, you don't know that. You only think you do. But we can be grateful for our savings accounts or the secure situations or supposed secure or parents' secure situations we find ourselves in. God wants us to remember that he is the one who has provided for our needs. That yes, we might have savings. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But for those who do, where did that come from? What's the source of our provision? Did we actually do it? Oh, well, I worked hard my whole life to get to where I am today. Yes, but we may not understand how that actually works. Once a year, the people of Israel had to be reminded where provision actually came from. And we need to understand that if wherever we are today, and especially if we are prospered, that our prosperity has come from the Lord. When I talk about this, I always remember this, and I've probably told this story before. So this is a photo taken from the Israel tour that I led several years ago. And on this day, we went to this special place where we got to hear from a Bedouin man. The Bedouin are nomadic tribe that still exists in the Middle East today. They live in the land of Israel. And we went to hear a presentation about the life and culture of the Bedouin. And at the same place, we got to go for camel rides. And they're really big critters. When you're up on there, you're really, really high. Anyway, it was probably 40 degrees at least that day. And it didn't take too long for the people in our group to say things like, I'm never going to say anything bad about the children of Israel again, about them complaining in the wilderness. Like, they'd been out for hardly an hour. Most of the time we were in the shade. For a few minutes we were out in the sun, and they were baking, and they were so hot, and they couldn't wait to get back into our air-conditioned bus. And you can get cold water because the bus driver has a fridge, and you can get cold water from the fridge, and they couldn't wait to get back in out of that horrible, oppressive heat. People of Israel were in this for 40 years. I'm not always so hot, of course, but we've got it so good. We've got it so comfortable. And again, I know there are people in this room today that have been in very, very difficult physical situations. And some of you, you know, some of us that have maybe have never known what it's like to go a few days without eating and many, many, many hours where we could not get water. Some of us have never experienced that. But you've been through some very, very difficult times. God saw you through. And one of the bases of our gratitude needs to be our remembering that we didn't get ourselves through. God did. He's the one who's provided for us. He's the one who's healed us. He's the one who has seen us through. And we need to take the time to remember that. Well, one of the things that I was thinking about as I was preparing this, and I was really having a hard time in knowing how to express it, is that we're called to be grateful for all that God has provided. I think that's what Thanksgiving is supposed to be about. And that's what Sukkot is about. And yet, I was looking for some songs that would be appropriate to use at this time. So I was looking up on some sites that talk about popular songs at Thanksgiving. And almost all of them were about being grateful for spiritual things, grateful for what the Lord has done for us. We sang some of those songs this morning already. And absolutely, being grateful for Jesus dying on the cross for us and rising from the dead and welcoming us to be his children, that is core to what it means to know who we are, to know who God is, and the basis for being thankful, absolutely. But I'm curious as to why we have trouble being thankful for stuff. When we get together, let's be thankful. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you've done, and thank you for your love. And in some ways, those things are tangible, but they're not tangible. So anyway, on Friday, a couple days ago, I had a surprise last-minute visit of a pastor friend of mine who lives from another province. He's coming into town. He called me the night before, or two nights before, and asked if we could have breakfast Friday morning, and end up staying at our house for one night, and then it's kind of funny. So he wanted to take me out for breakfast, but I picked the spot. So I picked one of my favorite places, and we're sitting there, and we ordered, and then the food arrived, and that was my breakfast on Friday morning. And I don't mind plugging. The place is called Zach's Diner, and it's in the Centrum area of Kanata. And I hadn't been there in a while, and I knew that this was the sort of thing I was going to get. And then, so we're talking, we're in intense conversation, we hadn't seen each other in a long time, and then the food came on the table, and I saw this thing, and I thought, wow, look at what God has provided. Now, of course, I wasn't paying, so that helped, but still, even if I was, look at that, and especially that fruit plate. I still think it's amazing. First of all, God made all that stuff. Somebody prepared it, and maybe some of it's hybrid, especially the, you know, seedless oranges. That means human beings have fiddled with the oranges to get the seeds out and all that kind of thing. But still, we couldn't make oranges by ourselves if God hadn't made oranges originally. And if I can go back, can I go back? There we go. And that is some of the best gluten-free toast you can find in all of Ottawa. And it's just, I was looking at this going, this is it. This is it. This is my sermon illustration. Because I'm going to venture out here. This is a little risky, okay? If we can't be thankful for stuff like this, and maybe you don't like eggs, so put your own favorite breakfast in here, okay? Just get the point. If we don't know how to be thankful for stuff, I don't know if we can be really thankful for the intangible things the Lord's done for us. Because it's easy to sing those songs about those things that you can't see. And we could sing about God's love and Jesus' sacrifice for us. For those of you that love coffee, and you know who you are, I don't mean just like your morning coffee. You love coffee and you're picky about it. When you get your favorite coffee and you sip it, are you thankful to God for His provision? That He made those beans and the processes and all the physics that goes into how to make that stuff? And of course, those of you that don't understand, well, put your own thing in. When you were a kid and you discovered cotton candy for the first time and everything inside you went, whee! Or ice cream for the first time, or ice cream now. God made that. Now, of course, overeating and over-focusing on things like this. But I have this theory, that is a problem, but I have a theory that many believers live, it's this dual kind of existence we have. We try to be thankful for all the things that we think we should be thankful for. Then we enjoy all this other stuff and feel a little guilty. Now, some of you have really nice cars. Now, of course, you might think that there are nicer cars that you wish you could have, but you might have a car that you love. And you're thankful at one level that you have that car. Have you ever thanked God for it? If somebody would give me a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz, should I feel guilty about it or thankful for it? And sadly, there are people that have these nice things, nice homes, nice cars, nice whatever it is. And it's this little uncomfortable. But you know what? As believers, if we're really uncomfortable with some of the things that we have, and we feel a little guilty about having them, maybe we should get rid of them. Or if they're okay to have, be thankful for it. And I would vote for that one. To be able to receive this, and I know for some of you, this is not your preferred breakfast, so it's a little difficult, but for that to come on the table and to have a sense of celebration, not only anticipating this wonderful eating experience, but my response was, look how beautiful this is. Look at the presentation of this food. And I could be here with my friend and he's treating me. This is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for your provision. And we so quickly, oh, well, thank you for friendship and thank you for, there we go again. We should be thankful for those things. But to go down the street at this time of year and take a walk and see the red and the orange and those colors and go, wow, thank you, Lord, that I get to live in this part of the world at this time. Now, maybe you'd rather be in Florida. I don't know. But you're here right now and you see the splendor and thank you for that. And thank you for my apartment. And thank you for my walker. And thank you for the lifts that I get. And thank you that we could be in a room like this. And thank you for all these things that we have in Canada. And there's things that we're concerned about, but thank you for all the provision. And thank you for social assistance. Thank you for the paycheck. Thank you for my pension check. Thank you for, what is it? And I believe if we could learn to be more thankful for that, we call it mundane, it sounds so negative, but these are the everyday things of our lives that God Himself has provided for us. Like grabbing hold of these branches and this fruit and holding them before the Lord and thank you for what you've provided. Because our God is the Creator God. And we, as His children who have been redeemed from sin and death, we're not just waiting around for God to destroy planet Earth. We're waiting for God to renew the creation, where we will celebrate with Him forever in a new heavens and a new earth, where however the splendor of these leaves strike us today, that's still going to be nothing compared to what we're going to experience in what the Bible calls the age to come. But we're not going to be so disconnected from creation, just kind of float in an invisible heavenly realm. We're going to be fully redeemed, risen from the dead, and enjoy God in a new heavens and a new earth, and experience creation like never before. And now is our time of preparation. Let's be thankful for all the things that God has provided. Why should we be grateful? Because our God, who has made all things and has brought us into this world, has taken care of us in the hard times and in the good times. He cares about our material needs. The Bible says that he's given us his own son. How much more will he give us all things? Because of what he's done in Jesus, we can count on him for everything else. That's what the Bible teaches. And all that everything else, however much or little we have of that, let's be thankful for what God has provided for us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are the one who's brought this creation into being, and that you have chosen us to be here at this time. And we are here today because you have preserved us. We are here today because you have provided for us. And Lord, for some of us, looking forward is really, really scary, which is why you are calling us to look back and remember what you have done for us, whether it be this past year or in the years before. Remind us, Lord, of how you saw us through in the most difficult times, that we might rejoice in you today and then face tomorrow with confidence. Please, Lord, forgive us, Father. Forgive us for not being grateful for that which you've given to us. And help us, Lord, to know how to be a happy people. And especially in a country that we're in today where there's so much and there's so much to enjoy. Lord, we do pray that you would help those who are struggling and are going through hard times, people who need healing, people that need provision, people that need the material parts of their lives sorted out. We look to you for that. Would you grant wisdom? Would you provide? But also, Lord, help us to see what's in our basket. What have you, the things you have provided for us, and give us grateful hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.